Super, repeat it.
We're back?
We're on now? Okay, I want to welcome back Aaron Friedman. We're glad to have you back. And we are on Daf Lamed, Amud Beis. Nobody should think that that Aaron wasn't with us. He listened to us every day. But he really was cyber with us. But anyway, we move on. Lamed Amud Beis of the Mishnah. Yesterday we had a tremendous daf related to Halacha L'maisa. Today we have a tremendous daf related to Lamdas. Not as much Halacha L'maisa, but Shas is full of everything. So we take it all in. Says the Mishnah. Nachri Shehilva is Yisrael Alchem, so Achar HaPesach Mutter Bahana'a. So we're going to talk about today are loans. Loans and designations of a mashkon, of a collateral, designations of what you're allowed to take from if I don't repay. So that's what the Mishnah says. Let's say a non-Jew lent a Jew money, and a Jew says, you know what, I designate this piece of land, if I don't pay back, so you'll be able to take this piece of land. This is like a lien, you have a lien on this piece of land, and you'll be allowed to take it if I don't pay back. So, achar ha-pesach, let's say after Pesach, and he does not pay back, mutter bahana'a. That land that was designated for the loan is mutter bahana'a. It was as if the non-Jew, the nachri, owned it already. In the opposite case, the Yisrael Shehilva es Nachri Alchemso. And what about the opposite case? A Jew lends a non-Jew money, and the non-Jew says that this piece of land will be yours if I don't repay. Achar HaPesach. I'm sorry. We're going to get to the land in a minute. And he put a lien on certain chametz, and the chametz was going to be what he was going to repay. So in the first case, where it was a Jew who was sending the chametz to a non-Jew, so mutter bahana, so that is, then the chametz is mutter bahana, is considered it was owned by the non-Jew. But the opposite case, where a Jew lends the non-Jew chametz, and the non-Jew designates chametz to repay, so achar HaPesach aser bahana. So you have to Pesach, that chametz and aser bahana, because it was as if it was owned by a Jew. I'm sorry, the land is going to come up in the Gemara. So those are the two cases. There's a major machlokas we showed him here. What exactly is the case in the Mishnah? And it boils down to a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. What kind of loan are we talking about? Was this loan due before Pesach? Or was this loan due after Pesach? That is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. Most Rishonim say that this loan was due after Pesach. After Pesach, that's the Pashas. Because if it was due before Pesach, then it's already finished. It's already over. So of course it's already owned by the person who is the creditor. But the Rambam does not say this. Let's see, the Rambam says, Yisrael Shehir and Chepso Eitzel Nachri, Yisrael that puts Chabitz next to a Nachri, which we'll get to that case in the Gemara, etc. Yosar Chabitz Mutter L'Achar Pesach. That Chabitz is Mutter after Pesach. The Rambam is talking about a case where a Jew gave the Chabitz to a non-Jew in return for the loan. V'hu Sheyia Oso Zvach Kavalo Kodem HaPesach. Says the Rambam, only if the loan is due before Pesach, that's when it's his. Not when it's due before, but if it was only due after Pesach, it sounds like for the Rambam, it would still be considered the Jews. It's only considered the non-Jews' chametz because the loan was already due. Says the Ravid, Amar Avram Davar Zeh Lo Nahir V'Lo Tzahir Ela Afilo Lo Higia Zmano Ela Achar Pesach Eino Over Olav. Maybe Higia Zmano Akodim Pesach. If it's like you, Rambam, that the Zman Torah pays even before Pesach, Afilo Lo Amar Me'achshav Kino Shein Din Asvach T'Lagoy. Says the Ravid, and this is what the Ran says, and this is what most Rishonim say. No, it's talking about the loan is due after Pesach. If the loan is due before Pesach, there's no Shail in the Gemara. There wouldn't even be a Safek. So that is the machlokas between the Rambam and other Rishonim. The Magen Mishnah here, though, says maybe the Rambam got it from the language of the Mishnah. Because what does the Mishnah say? That La'achar HaPesach Mutter Bana, right after Pesach. According to you, other Rishonim, it should have said La'achar HaPesach, and the Zman comes due, then it's going to be Mutter Bana. La'achar HaPesach sounds like right after Pesach. So that is why the Magen Mishnah says maybe that's a smach to the Rambam, but he agrees Das Rov HaAchronim Kedivrei HaRavid Zal. Right, so that is, and the Ran here also quotes the Rambam and he argues with him. So that's a machlokas, just in Havana of the Mishnah. Again, there's a lot of svar behind that. What exactly is the case of the Mishnah? Continues the Gemara. Itmar, Baal Chov, Abaya Amar Lumafreya Hugova, V'Rava Amar Mikano Lahaba Hugova. Major machlokas. Somebody lends money, and this is where we come into we're not talking about chametz here, we're talking about land. Abaya, let's say you lend somebody money, and the debtor says, designates a piece of land. Rashi says, Shibilo Nechasov. Why he has to say Beferish is not for now. But he designates a piece of land to say, this is where you're going to collect from. So let's say he lends him on the first day of Shvat, comes the first day of Adar, and the creditor now takes that piece of land. Retroactively, now we look back, the creditor now has the piece of land. Whose land was it in the interim? How do we halachically look at it? Physically, he basically took possession today, because that's the day that he didn't pay back. So, but in the interim, whose land was it? Whose land was it? So Abaya tells us, Lamafreya Hugova. It's considered the Malva's land all along. All along, even though, if you look on a sheet, it will just say it was Meshubid. It will just say it was connected, it was leaned out to the creditor. But still, halachically, Abaya says, Lamafreya Hugova, Shibudim. That concept that something is Meshubid is connected to me because I'm owed money, that concept of Shibudim makes it mine already. Lamafreya Hugova. Rava Amar Mikata Lahaba Hugova. Rava says, no. It was the Lovas up till now, and now it's the Malvas. Now it belongs to the creditor. Mikata Lahaba, from the day of collection and on, that's when he is Gova. Yeah.
With the 30-day loan, he has 30 days to pay back.
He has 30 days to pay it back. That's exactly what Rava says. That's exactly the svar that Rava is going to give. What's the svar for Abaya? What's the svar for Abaya? Lamafreya Hugova, tremendous chiddush. So we'll explain it a little more in a minute, but the way that the Decevus understands Abaya in Kuf Tzadik Tes, the Choshen Mishpat in Kuf Tzadik Tes, because the Decevus are major players on today's daf, says the Decevus, to explain Abaya, Efsher Lomar, La Abaya, the Spirit Le Balchov, Lamafreya Hugova, Bepsachim Laman Aleph, etc., the Havi Ki'ilu Kanu Le HaKarka LaHamalve B'Shas Halva, Kishenosein HaKesef Liyado. When I give you money for the loan, that's kesef mechira, that's kesef kinyan, says the Nesivus, according to the Abaya. I'm buying your land. You have an out if you pay me. If you pay me, so then the kinyan, it's like a kinyan al tanai. I'm buying the land today, and then if you repay the loan, so then the kinyan doesn't work. But that's how it's working, says Abaya. Says the Nesivus in Abaya. Oh, when I pay you the loan on T1, I bought that land. It's just a kinyan al tanai, which will kick into effect in a month from now. But then it's really the chalos is from the first day. It's as if he said, then it's going to retract. If you later collect the later collection of the land, that I take the land back, that's just fulfilling the tnai that I made earlier. But really, the kinyan already took place. Deloboy kinyan, a nafkamina. Does he have to make another kinyan on this piece of land on the 30th day? Let's say he did one on the first day. Does he have to make another kinyan? Says the Nesivus, no, etc. So that is the way the Nesivus explains Abaya. Abaya lechora is the more mechudish shita. So that's machlokas with Abaya and Rabba. When you collect the land on after the loan is not repaid, is it lamafreya hugove or mikana laba hugove? Continues the Gemara. There's a kinyan chazak. Well, you have to be. Did he do that on T1? Well, that's where the Decevus' issue is. Let's say he did it on T1. Would he have to do another one? Okay, so continues the Gemara. Kol hecha da'aktish love v'zavin love. If the love in this interim time had been maktish it to the Beis Hamikdash, maktish his land to the Beis Hamikdash, kuli amo lo pliki. So then everybody, even Rava agrees there. Even Rava, who says mekana la'aba hu gove, says that the love is not allowed to give his land to the Beis Hamikdash in the interim. Why? To asi malva v'taref. He would agree that the malva could come and be toref if he had sold it, to grab it from the people who had bought it, for asi malva uparek, or the malva could come and redeem it from the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because the lova had no right. Even according to Rava, who says, mikano lahabahu gove, Rashi explains that the concept of shibudim, the concept that the malva has certain rights in this land, prevents the lova from having full acquisition of it, even according to Rava. Even according to Rava, who says, mikano lahabahu gove, this only belongs to the malva, the creditor, from the later time period, but still, Rashi explains, the second to the last line in Rashi, modehu de'in mechirasu la'achirim, u'mechira ve'enek deshu ektosh, because it's memushkan lamalva. And even if it's shalom, it's not pershuso, meaning halachically his ownership is affected because the malva can't take it away. And even Rava agrees to that.
Does
the lender?
He has to give money to get it back.
Does the? Well, we'll talk about that. But he doesn't even have when the. Let's say the malva though is going to take it out of Hektish now.
But so he said he has to pay money to get it back.
He has to. Well, we'll see in a second. Right now, we'll see why that is. V'asi malva uparik, and the malva can come and redeem it. Ditznan, as the Mishnah says in Erechin, Mosif o dinar upo. Does it chazam alilu? Give a dinar to the Beis HaMikdash and redeem these nechasim. The Mishnah kipshuto, 99% of Rishonim say. What does that mean? It's a token. It's a token symbolic giving to the Hektish. It's not right to take something that looks like it's Hektish out of Hektish for free. So give a penny to the Beis HaMikdash, and then you can take it out from the Beis HaMikdash. But really, Me'ikar Adin, you don't have to give anything. Really, the Hekdish is not Chal, because the Lovet had no right in terms of being Makdashit. So that's if the Lovet does something. Again, the Pashas is that it's not Hukdash Bechlal. That is how, again, the Ksos understands it, that it, he doesn't have the power to be Makdashit, and therefore is not Hukdash Bechlal. Ki Pligi, what's the Machlokas between Abaye and Rava? That's not if the Lovet does it, because the Lovet for sure can't do it, because there's Shibudim of the Malve that interrupt, that break his Kinyan. Ki Pligi does up in Malve, because it's Malve. What happens if the Malve in the interim was Makdashit? And Rashi and the Meiri add, and let's say on day 30 he wants to retract from the Hekdash. Meaning, does it, is it Hukdash Memela? Abaya Amar, the Mafreya who go vet, right? Because you might say, like, if I want to give it to Hekdash, so I'm just giving it to Hekdash now. What's the difference? So the answer is, well, I thought of another Nachkamino, what about the Isra Me'ila in between? Let's say somebody violated, you know, used this in between and took some fruit off the land. Either it's another Nachkamino. But anyway, Rashi and the Meiri say he wants to retract. So Abaya, Omar, the Mafreya who go of Abaya says, it's halachically viewed as it was his Lamafreya, Kiva de Bata Zimne Velo Pare, since the time came, and the Lova did not repay. Igloi Milsa, Lamafreya de Me'ikara, Bershuse Have Kai. It comes out that retroactively, it was really the Malvez, Vishaper Ikdish, Vishaper Zavin, and he was Makdashit, and he was Mocherit, fine, and therefore he has that power. It's amazing. The Malveh, even though physically the land is still in the Lova's possession, the Malva has more jurisdiction on it, halachically. The Lova can't be Makdashit, according to everybody agrees to that, but Abaya said that the Malva can be Makdashit. For Rava Amar, no, Rava says they both can't. So it's in each one ruins the other one's ownership. Mikana Laba go, but Rava says, no, it's Mikana Laba only. Kiva di lo havile zuze, I mean, misalikli bezuze. Since if he had money at the time of the debt is supposed to be repaid, he could pay him back. Then you can't say it belongs to the Malva totally. Ishtakek the Hashakakani. So because he has that ability to prevent the Malva from getting it, so therefore it comes out that he is only Kona it now. There's a big discussion in the Rishonim based on a Gemara in Gittin Daf Mem or Ksubis Nuntes. There is a concept called Hektish Mafkia Midei Shibud. Four words. Hefka Mafkia Midei Shibud. That means that in the context of those Gemaras is that sometimes if you're Makdashit, that could break a Shibud. Hektish is so powerful. If you give it to the Beis HaMikdash, so then there's no more Shibudim on this. If you're Mocherit, then you sell it. So you can't say, your creditor can say, you couldn't have sold it. It was already leaned to me. So I can take it back. But there's a concept of hektish mafkiyam in deshibud. Giving something to the Beis HaMikdash, we find in other areas of halacha that giving something to hektish has different rules. There's a concept of amiraso legavoa kimisiraso lehedyot. If saying you're going to give something to the Beis HaMikdash has the same status as doing an action to a hedyot, to your friend. So again, there are easier ways, sometimes there are harder ways also. But giving something to hektish has different rules than giving something to non-hektish. So the Gemara there in Gittin Daf Mem and Ksubas Nuntes says, hektish mafkiyam de shibud. So Rashi here asked the question. Rashi asked like Tosas here. Rashi asked the question, what do you do with that Gemara? Steer up. So says Rashi in the third skinny line, V'yafa gavd amar rava hektish chametz v'shichur mafkiyam midei shibud. Three things. We're just focusing on the first one. Hektish mafkiyam midei shibud. What do you do? Dafka kedushas haguf ka'amar rava. Kagon konamos, o behema lakarban, o bekech briso al hames. Says Rashi, when do you say hektish mafkiyam midei shibud? Only if you're makdish something and give it inherent kedusha. There are two types of kedusha that you could give to something and make it hektish. Kedusha is haguf, that means its body is mukdash and it can never be redeemed. You make a spoon into klishares. You make a bowl into a klisharis. You makdash an animal to be hukrav on the mizbeach. Any of those are considered to be kedushas haguf, and therefore an inherent kedusha, and that's what ruins a shibud. Or Rashi gives the other example. A beged, this is not hektish, but a beged that you use to wrap a mace. That beged becomes asur bahana, because it becomes shel mace. That's what's makdash b'dei shibud. What are we talking about here? Here we're talking about your makdash, your backyard to the Beis HaMikdash. You're backyard to a piece of land. A land can't have kedushas haguf to the Beis HaMikdash. Doesn't have kedushas haguf. Land has to be what's called kedushas damim. The value goes to the Beis HaMikdash. Kedushas damim, says Rashi, that's not where the principle applies. Hektash mafkiyam midei shibud is only by kedushas haguf and not by kedushas damim. That is Rashi's answer. There's no Tosfos about it here, but Tosfos in those two places that I mentioned, Gittin and Ksubis, argue with Rashi based on certain questions. The Meiri here, though, catalogs all the opinions. quotes the Rashi, quotes Gedolei HaRabbanim. It's one of the mysteries of the Meiri. The Meiri never quotes anybody by name. He has a nickname for everybody, so you know who he's talking about most of the time. But for some reason, I guess it's somewhere in his 60-page Hakdama to Shas. I'm sure he says it there. Why I never got through it. I got through the first few pages. But he says, Hekshem Av Gibbon Yeshiva. So he quotes Rashi, Gedolei HaRabbanim. That's his nickname for Rashi. And then he quotes a couple of questions. Then he quotes for Rabbanei HaTzarfatim. That's usually Tosfos. He says, no, a different answer. The answer is, Hekdish Mafkim Yeshiva, says Rabbeinu Tam, is only by Mitaltalin. Only if you're Makdish Metaltalin, because Metaltalin isn't as leaned out as land is. Land is very collectible by the Balchov, and therefore land is does not the principle of Hekdim of Gibbon Yeshiva is only by Metaltalin, but not by Karka. That is Rabbeinu Tam's chiluk, and here we're talking about Karka. The Meiri himself, after quoting the Rabbeinu HaTzarfatim, quotes the Chachmei Narvona. The Chachmei Narvona, who says practically that only works if you have other land or properties to pay the guy back. That's what Hekdesh Rav Gimedei Shibud. But if you don't have anything else to pay back, and the Malva is going to lose, then again the principle doesn't kick in, which makes it sound like it's more of a Dinda Rabbanan, Hekdesh Rav Gimedei Shibud, not a Dinda Araisa. That's what he quotes for the Chachmei Narvona. And then the last opinion that he quotes from the Ravid, which the notes point out, that which is against the Ravid on the Rambam, because this is the Shitas HaRambam in our Mishnah Torah, but he quotes it from the Gedolei HaMefarshim, so he says maybe it's a mistake. It should be the Gedolei HaMechabrim, which is the Meir's name for the Ravid, which is the name for the Rambam. The Rambam says, and the Ravid say, you know what Hekdesh Rav Gimedei Shibud means? Here, it is Hekdesh Rav Gimedei Shibud. And really, he's allowed to be Makdashit. And this Rambam, in the Rambam and the Ravid and the Meiri, but really it's not the Ravid on the Rambam, says when the Gemara, the Mishnah quotes this, Mosef Odin or Pozat Chasam Elu, the Rambam says that's Meikar Hadin. I guess what David asked before, that's Meikar Hadin. He has to redeem it. We give him the easy right to redeem it for a very small value. But really, Hekdish Mafkiya Midei Shibud. And the Loveh shouldn't, he's not allowed to, but if he did it, the Malva could come and be Porik, it could redeem it. But really, it did work. There are no exceptions to Hekdish Mafkiya Midei Shibud. It's even by Kedushas Damim, and it's even by Karka, and it's even if he has not enough money. All the Gemara means is here is that the Malva had certain rights to it, and he's able to get it out of Hekdish in an easy fashion. But not that it didn't work. And the Miri does not like that, because it sounds like from the Mishnah, according to Rov Rishonim, that this is just a token redemption, and not one that is Me'ikar Hadin. Okay, those are four different answers to the, how do you use Hekdish Rav Gimedei Shibud work with our Gemara. Okay, so we have the machlokes between Abaye and Rava. Getting back to our Gemara. So Abaye says, "Umafrehu gove." Rava says, "Mikana labahu gove." Umiyama Rava hachi. How could Rava say that mikana labahu gove? Umiyama Rami bar Chama. So we got a health cup for this case. Ruvain shemachar sada l'Shimon ba'achrayis. Ruvain sells a field to Shimon and says to him, "You know what? If my creditors ever come to take the lands from you, it's on me. I'm gonna pay you back. I'm gonna make sure that you're okay, that you don't lose." That's what Reuven says to Shimon. He sells it to him b'achrayis. V'zakpan ala b'milva. Shimon at the moment, when he bought the land, did not have money. So Reuven made it into a loan. So Shimon now owes Reuven money. But if the land is ever lost, Reuven's going to have to pay Shimon back. Right, that's the setup here. Umeis Reuven, and Reuven dies. And then what happens? So who's in the story now? You have Reuven's kids. You have Shimon. And you have the Balchov of Reuven, who is now coming to collect the land. Shimon hasn't paid for the land yet. So what do you do? So, Va'asa Balchov de Reuven v'tarf lemi Shimon. The Balchov of Reuven comes and takes Shimon's land. So what's the deal now? So Shimon's going to come to the B'nai Reuven and say, you know, they took my land, so you have to pay me. But the B'nai Reuven are going to say, but you didn't pay me for the land yet. So what should you do here? What's the din? So what happened? V'asa Shimon upaisei bezuzei. You know what Shimon did? Shimon says, hey, I'm going to have to give up the land, and then they're going to pay me back, so I'll skip a step. I'm just going to pay off the creditor. I'll give the creditor of Reuven money, and then that'll get him off my back, that'll get him off their back, and we'll all be fine, and we'll all be happy. That's what he did. So Shimon thought that he was doing something great, and he got out of it. Says Rami Bar Chama, he did that, but he loses. Dina who? The Asi B'nai Reuven, V'amir of the Shimon, the B'nai Reuven could come to Shimon and say, you messed us up. Anan metaltalin shavak avon gavach. Our father left metaltalin by you. That means you owe our father money, and now you owe us money. And if you would have done what was supposed to be done, not skipping any steps, you would have given us money, so then we wouldn't have had to do anything. We wouldn't have to pay you back. You know why? The rule is, there's a rule that only the land of a father is meshubad and stays when the father dies. It goes to the children. The children have to pay back the father's loans from the land that he left them, not from the money, the movable assets that he left them. Because money is considered milvalahotzan, and it's considered new. This money wasn't the father's. It's mine, and I can deal with it as I wish. Only land is considered passed down in terms of bali chovos. So if you would have paid us back money, we don't have any other land, so we wouldn't have to pay you back. We wouldn't have to pay back. So fine, the bal chov of our fathers takes the land, so then we don't have to, it's not our land, but that if you would have paid us back, like we would want you to, that we wouldn't have to pay the bal chov anything else, and we wouldn't even have to pay you. But now, you lost the money for us. So that's what the B'nai Reuven are allowed to say, and therefore Shimon is still responsible and has to pay the B'nai Reuven. That is Rabbi Rachama says, V'yama Rava, and Rava continues, E'pikeach Shimon, if Shimon's a smart, clever guy, I could have given him an Eitzah that he could have done well. What could he have done? That he could have, let's say the Baal Chov, Reuven takes the land, so nothing you can do about that. But how does Shimon make some money? Magviluhu Ara, he could have paid the Yesomim back lands, not money. And then, taking it right back from them. Because now they have karka that was owed to the father, and it was as if it was owned by the father in his lifetime, because it was meshubah to him, and now he's taking it back. So that's what Shimon could have done. As Rav Nachman says, Yisomim shegabu karka b'chobas avihen, Yisomim, orphans that collect karka that was owed to their father, and they collect it after their father dies, balchov chosav agovos avihem. The balchov of a father, either here the same one, but even a different one, could go and then recollect it. Because that land was as if it was owned by the father from the moment of the loan. That's going to be what's important for us. That's Rabbi Rachama, and that's Rava. So that's the Gemara. If you said like a baya, just one ha'ara. By the way, it says he could give them lands and then collect it back. So there is a halacha that if you have money, you have to pay money first. And only if you don't have money, you don't have to pay land. You don't have to pay land. So Tosfos in Ksubis says, you know, it must be that if he's gonna lose, he can pay back land. Even if he has money. But Rashi here just seems to say that he could trick him. Rashi on the third wide line, Ipikat ze Shimon, Yitton v'yomer lahem, ein li ma'os lefro alachem. Sounds like in this kind of case, he's allowed to trick them. Because this is the only way, maybe he's working with Tosfos in Ksubas, but it sounds like he's allowed to trick them and say, you know, I don't have any money, I'm going to give you land. Says the Gemara, if you say a balchov is going to mafreya, like Abaya says, that works because it is as if the father owned this land when he was alive, and that's what the Shimon can get it. But if you say it only belongs to the malve from the time of collection, so amai chozer v'govo samehen. So why is the balchov allowed to come and collect it? It's just like the orphans bought a piece of land today. If it only becomes theirs today. If the Yesomim bought land today, it goes to the Balchov of the father? No! So therefore, according to you, Rava, who says, why does this work? Why is this the principle that if the children collect land, the Balchov of the father could collect it? It didn't belong to the father until today, the father's dead, so it really never belonged to the father. So it shouldn't be Meshubah to the Balchov.
The Lova's land,
Shimon owes Reuven money. It's usually automatic. If you owe somebody money, then there's something called the Shibud Aguf and Shibud Nechasim automatically. So that's why I just mentioned Derech Agav in the beginning of the Gemara, why Rashi has to say he did it beforeish. Usually the beginning of the Gemara Bamitzia says, Achrayas Ta'us Sofer. If the Achrayas is not written in the Shtar, it still exists. It's a Ta'us that the Sofer left it out. But really, all lands are Meshubit, even if you don't write it. Unless you specifically didn't write it, when you have a Shtar. So here, the lowest lands was Meshubit. He was a Balchov of the father was a Balchov of his. So that's what the Gemara says. How does this work according to Rava? So the Gemara says, Shiny Hasam, there is different. In that case, why? Da'amar Lahu, Ki Heichi, De Mishtab, De Leila Avuchon, Mishtab, Naim, De Balchov, De Avuchon. Says Shimon, you're right. Even if you say Makana Lahabao Gove, still Shimon is allowed to say, based on Shibud, just like the Balchov of your father, land was owed to your father, it was owed to me through your father. Here it happens to be the same person. Just like I owed your father money, I owed me money because your father owed me. So it kind of goes in a circle. And Reuven, Shimon is allowed to say that based on Shibudim, based on the principle of Rebbe Nasan. Meet the Rebbe Nasan. The Tanya is known as Shibudim Rebbe Nasan. This could be discussed for a week in yeshivas. The Tanya Rebbe Nasan Omer, Minayin L'Rosh HaBechaver V'Mona. Bechaver B'chaver should be as Mosin Mizeh V'Rosin Lazeh. If A owes B and B owes C, how do you know you could go directly from A to C? Tama Lomar V'Nasan L'Asher Hashem Lo. Pasuk in Parshas Naso, when you have to give it to the one that it belongs to. It doesn't say the one that you owe. You have to give the money by Gezel Hager. Lo Nasan L'Asher Hashem Lo, and that's the marker for the principle of Shibud D'Rav Nasan. So the Shimon here is allowed to quote the principle of Shibud D'Rav Nasan in order to be able to collect, even if you say Mikado L'Habahu Goven. There is a major discussion in the poskim. How do you view in the Rishonim, the Achronim? How do you view Shibud D'Rav Nasan? Is it just some Rishonim take it on a very practical level, low level? All it means is that you want to save Tercha, you want to save bother. A owes B, B owes C, why should you go through B? Just give it straight to C. There's nothing special here about Kinyanim and Shibudim, but, you know, just give it from A to C on a practical level. But the Ksos is the one who made this Shibudim Rav Nasan famous. Ksos says in Siman Pei Vav, you know what Shibudim Rav Nasan means? It's as if the middleman does not exist. The middleman does not exist, says the Ksos. There are middle opinions also. I just say the two extremes. But says the Ksos, Shibud Ramasa Nira, De Eno Kolo Shibud Nechasim, De Kuf Nechasim Shal Alove Lamalve Eino Ela Shibud, Ava Shibud Ramasa Ramasa Lomar, De Guf Akov Shahayel Alove Shayech Lamalve Shalo, Ki Ilu Hu Hilvehu Mamish, Velo Betara Shibud. It says the Ksos, after all, the fact that A could be C, what do you need a pusik to teach me that? If it's just that A owes B and B owes C, so you might as well, A should might as well pay C. You don't need a pasuk to teach me that. Of course you can say that. It must be something deeper, that the pasuk must be teaching me that B doesn't exist. My nafkamina, the Rishonim discuss, could the middleman be mochel? Let's say the middle guy all of a sudden wakes up and says, you know what, I'm in a good mood. I'm mochel the loaf to A. So he just, and he has no nechasim of his own. So is he allowed to be mochel? So big nafkamina, does B exist? Or could you skip B? A-O-C, according to the Ksos, he can't be, well, guess if he's mochel. A-O-C now. A doesn't know B, a B-O-C. So that's the Chiddush of the Ksos. Again, many have middle opinions. Maybe it's somehow the C is more of a player, but B does exist in a little bit. So maybe B doesn't exist, but he doesn't exist only if, whatever, there are different ways to formulate it. But those are the two extremes. Either you say, Lamaisa, you might as well just skip him because it's a Tircha, or you say, like the Ksos, is as if he's not there. But the Ksos explains, if you have my approach, if he's not there, you understand Tosfos is Kasha on our Gemara. Tosfos says, V'im Tomar, Gav Metaltel Nami Nema, Hachi. We know that Shibud Ramasan only applies to lands, but if you say this principle, Shibud Ramasan, why don't you say it by Metaltzelin too? And the Ksos says it works well according to me, because according to me, the middleman doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist, there shouldn't be any chiluk between Metaltzelin and Karka. So that's why Tosfos doesn't give an answer that maybe Karka is more meshubitable, if that's a word. The Nirulari, the Dafka Gabi Karka Shaykh Lamemar Hachi, the Bashibudu. No, Karka is more, people have their das on Karka, the Shakakadum Shibethas, the Ruben Chashvidon Lake Ki'ilu Hibiyado. Shibudim creates a certain type of kinyan. That's what some Rishonim say. And that's only applies by Karka, but by Matalson you might not have that. Okay, either way, the Gemara brought up Shibudim Rav Nasan to help explain Rava, that even if you say Mikano Lahabahu Gove, still he'd be able to collect a loan from the father based on from the children based on Shibudim Rav Nasan. Okay, what does it have to do with Psachim? Here we go. Tanah, now we're going to relate this to our Mishnah. The ratio of our Mishnah said, again, that if a non-Jew lends a Jew money, and the Israel designates chametz to pay back with, if I don't pay you back, then this chametz of mine is lean to you, so then after pays back, mutzer ba'anah. So what does that show? So if you say like, Abaya, then it makes sense, because it's considered it was the guys the whole time. So then, that's why it is Mutzer Bahana. But if you say like Rav, it's Mikadal Abahu Gove, and in the interim stage, it still belongs to the borrower, to the Love, then why is it Mutzer Bahana? It still belongs to the Jew. So it says, the Gemara, Hachabai Maskinam Kishahir Hinu Etzlo. We're talking about a case where the Jew, even before it was due, put the chametz into the non-Jew's house. kishehirhinu etzlo. And Rashi explains this that now, at least at this stage of the Gemara, it has turned from just stam a shibud into what's called a mashkon, into a collateral. It's turned from a shibud, which is just a lien on a property, which still belongs to the love, according to Rava, to a mashkon, which at this stage of the Gemara assumes the mashkon, we're going to talk more about this in Amud Beis, that already has more shaychus to the malve, and there Rava would agree. If hirhinu etzlo, if it was put into the malve's house. Lema ketanoi, let's say this machlokas, you know, Raya and Rava, is a machlokas tanoi. We have a brisa that has similar cases to the Mishnah. Yisrael shehilv, but it's not going to be exactly alike, there's going to be differences. Yisrael shehilv, and lenachri al chemso lachra pesach. If, again, what's the case here? This is like the case of the seifa of our Mishnah. A Jew lends a guy money, and the guy makes his chametz a lien. Achra pesach, eino over, mishemri meir amr over. Machlokas tanoim, in that case, does the goy's chametz become belonging to the Jews or not? So the Gemara says, my lab hakamifagi. What are they arguing about? The Mar Sava Lamafreya who gove. Maybe one of them says, Lamafreya who gove, and therefore, in this case, you do violate, because it belongs to the Jew already. Umar Sava Mikan Laba who gove, and he does not violate. Says the Gemara, though, that doesn't work. The Tizbra Ema Seifa, because if you look at the next line of the Brisa says as follows. In the opposite case, Avol Nachri Shivu Yisrael Alchemso, La'achar HaPezach Divrei HaKol Over. But if the non-Jew is the lender, and he's getting the Jew's chametz, everybody agrees that it still remains the Jew's, and he does violate. It says the Gemara, if this is a pure machlokas between Lamafreya Gove and Mikan Labao Gove, it shouldn't be a Divrei HaKol. It should be just the opposite. It says, V'ha'ifchabi violate. The Svar should be just the opposite. L'man da'amar ha'samena over. According to the one that says you don't violate in the Reisha because it belongs to the guy already. Ha'cha over. You say in the Sefer, you're over because it belongs to the Jew already. L'man da'amar ha'sam over. Ha'cha'ina over. So it should be just opposites if the machlokas was about Mikan Labao or Lamafreya. So the Gemara says there must be a different way to explain that machlokas. Ella ha'chabamayaskinon kigon shehirhinu etzlo. The case of the Brisa is where the chametz was already put by the malve. And the machlokas is v'kamifagi b'dir Rabbi Yitzchak. Another famous principle. We have two famous principles today. Shibudu d'Rab Nasan and Dina d'Rab Yitzchak. What's Dina d'Rab Yitzchak? D'Rab Yitzchak is as follows. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, minayin labal chov shekona mashkon. How do you know a bal chov acquires the mashkon, the collateral that belongs to him? Shenemar, based on a pasuk in Dvarim, ulachat yetzdaka, it talks about when you return the mashkon to the person who needs it, you should return it so that they could use it. So ulachat yetzdaka, and you get like credit. You did a great chesed by doing that. So im einokon mashkon staka minai. So Rabbi Yitzchak darshins, if it's not yours, if it still belongs to the love, then what kind of great credit are you getting? It belongs to them. So the Torah wouldn't call that a great chesed that you're doing unless you own it already and you're giving it back. You're being a nice guy and you're letting the love use it. So im eino kone mashkon staka minayin mikan lebal chov shekone mashkon. That's the din of Rabbi Yitzchak, that a bal chov owns a mashkon. We'll talk about that more in a few minutes. Tanakama savar. So when does the din of Rabbi Yitzchak apply? So Tanakama savar. The Tanakama who says that, who's the Tanakama? The Tanakama who said in the Brisa that if the non-Jew is the lender, you do not violate, but everybody agrees if the Jew is the lender, you do violate because it's the guy's chametz coming to him. The Tanakama Savarhani, Bili Yisrael, Yisrael, who's the Karina Belechati yet stuck up? Jew from Jew, Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha applies. Aval Yisrael, mi Nachri, Lokani. But at Yisrael from a Nachri, you do not apply these principles of Balchov, Kon, and Mashkon. It's harder, and therefore, in the case where a Jew is the lender, so then you say eino over, you do not violate. Rabbi Meir savar kavachomer. No, Rabbi Meir says it's the opposite. Kavachomer. Yisrael Misrael Kani. Yisrael Minachri lo kol shagain. It's easier to be kone from a Nachri in terms of Mashkon. So therefore, a Meir says if Yisrael works, so Yisrael Minachri surely works as well. That is all in the Reisha. In the Reisha of the Brisa. That's the Machlokas. Whether, because it's talking about, again, the Reisha of the Brisa is the case of Yisrael is the lender. So does the Din of Rabbi Yitzchak apply if Yisrael is a lender and the Mashkon of a Goy is coming to the Israel's possession, machlokas tanoim, avol nachri shehilvas Yisrael alchem so achar pesach. But the seifa of the brisa, where a non-Jew is the lender, then divrei hakol over, then everybody agrees that a Jew violates, because hasam vadei nachri Yisrael lokani. Surely the mashkon is not fully nicknet to the guy in that case; it still belongs to a Jew, and that's why a Jew would violate even if it's his mashkon going to the guy. So that's how we explained this brisa. Period. There's a major machlokas here, What does it mean, Baal Chov Konei Mashkon? So Machlok is in a number of places in Shas, in Rashi and Tosfos, and other Rishonim as well. Rashi has the most extreme way of understanding Baal Chov Konei Mashkon. Rashi here says, Konei Mashkon, see where he said the second Rashi? V'imne'enas chayiv ba'onsin, says Rashi. If an ones happens to this object, he's the malveh is chayiv in onsin of this object. She'enu alav lokesham rechidim lokesham resachar she'peturin ba'onsin elakula b'rshusei b'shmeso omeid. He has the status simo halacha of a shoel. Of a shoel. We know that there are at least three levels of shmir. If you're a shomer chinam, you're working for free, that you're only chayiv in pshia, in negligence, you're pater, in gneiva naveda and onsin. If you're a shomer sachar, you're getting paid to watch something, then you're even chayiv in gneiva naveda. A little higher responsibility, you're chayiv in if it's stolen or if it is lost. But of course, you're pater from onsin. If an earthquake, I just heard this morning, there was an earthquake in New Jersey. Just heard there was a little earthquake in New Jersey yesterday. I just heard the blurb on the news. Anyway, so let's say an earthquake happens. That's an ones. Let's say the vase breaks. So I'm responsible? That's not my responsibility. So if you're a shomer sachar, you're potter. A shoel is chayiv in onsen. A shoel? How can you be chayiv in onsen? How could you have prevented it? You know what the answer is? A shoel isn't chayiv in onsen because he's a shomer and therefore he should have prevented it. No, he's chayiv because the shoel has kinyonim in the chayfetz. If I own something and something breaks because of an earthquake, oh, I have to suffer the loss, right? It's mine. It's mine after the loss. I couldn't have prevented it. So what? It's not a din in chiyuv shmirah. It's a din of kinyan. A shoel has kinyanim, and that's why he's chayiv in onsin. So Rashi here says a bal chov is konei mashkon. It's chayiv in onsin. So Rashi says he has real kinyanim because that's the only way you're going to be chayiv in onsin. That's what Rashi says here. Tosfos here does not like it. Rashi says Tosfos says shakone mashkon pirush akuntris konei mashkon lein chiyuv onsin v'ri amar ba'umnin mashkon dolabe kashomer sachar. A mashkon? No, a mashkon still belongs to the person who owns it. It's like a shomer sachar. He has certain chiyuvim. It's almost his. It's shayach to him. But it's not kinyan. But the so says, Rashi sounds like the Gemara. Kone, mashkon. That sounds like Rashi. Shomer sachar is not kone anything. Right, he has chiyuvim, but he's not going to anything. So the ksos, for the ksos, and the shach, in Siman Ayin Beis, this long shach, Kedarko Bakodesh, thinks that every smucker is like Rashi. And the shach has the power to take every source in the sugya and make it agree with him. That's what the shach, and everybody that ever learned the shach before in Choshe Mishpat, that's the power of the shach. So he proves everybody holds like Rashi. But again, that is the machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. How strong is this principle of Baal Chov Konei Mashkon? Continues the Gemara. Tanan, Nachri Shel V'Yisrael Achem So Achar Pesach Mutzer Bahana. The Gemara here is alluding to the fact that we have now have a stira between a Brisa and the Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah, in the Seifa of our Mishnah, I'm sorry, in the Reisha of our Mishnah, which was the Seifa of the Brisa, the Reisha of our Mishnah says, a Nachri that lent a Jew money on his chametz after Pesach is Mutzer Bahana. And that's what that was the ratio of our Mishnah. So says the Gemara, Nihinami Dehir Hinu Etzlo, but fine, we said before that the Jew put it in the Chametz's possession already, and therefore it already belongs to the Nachri, but still, Ha'amr Nachri Misro Lokani. But we just said that everybody agrees that if a Nachri is the Malveh, he's not Kone fully the Jew's Mashkon. So therefore, steer between the Brisa and the Mishnah. The Brisa says, a guy from a Jew is not Kone Mashkon, and according to the Mishnah, you don't violate by Rabbi Yimatzeh. So Gemara says, what's the difference? It depends if the Jew said, acquire my mashkon may achshav, from now. That extra word makes all the difference in the world. By all kinyanim, you find that may achshav allows something to go totally retroactively. So even in a case where we would say that the goy is not kona, the mashkon of a Jew, if a Jew says may achshav be kona it, then it works even to prevent bal yirah bal yimatzeh. Timra, or to prevent the Isra of Chamish Avar Lava Pesach. How do you know the Sharni Lei Beinecha Damar Me'achshav Beinecha Dolam Lo Me'achshav? How do you know there could be a difference between whether you say Me'achshav or not? The Tanya, as the Brisa says, a different Brisa, Nachri Shehirin Pas Pronies Yisrael, a Nachri that gives his loaf of bread to a Jew, that puts it by a Jew, Einu Over. The Jew does not violate, because it still belongs to the guy. V'imamalo, he got ticha, and if he says, if the guy says to the Jew, you got it, it's yours, over. So then the Jew does violate. So Maisha Reisha Maisha Seifa, what's this language of, you got it, he got ticha. So says the Gemara, Ella, it must be, what does he mean by that? Lav shmamina, shani hecha, dar malay me'achshav, lecha dolar malay me'achshav, shmamina. It must be a language similar to me'achshav, and therefore if he says me'achshav, it really belongs to the creditor, even in a case where you normally would have said, the mashko does not nikne to the creditor. Period. Okay, there's a stipler on this line of the Gemara, if you have a chance to look at, but we'll see if we have time. Tana Rabbanon, Chanus shall Nach Israel, Umali shall Israel, Upali Nachem Nechnasim Lasham. Let's say you have a store owned by Jews, and all the merchandise is, all the food in the store is owned by Jews, and the workers, comes up a lot, a Jew owns a store, but he has workers who are non-Jewish, Nechnasim Lasham. And then you find chametz on the floor. So could you assume this chametz is from the Jewish merchandise or from the workers who brought it in? So chametz nimsa shamachar pesach aser bahana veizorach lomar ba'achila. So we assume that it becomes from the merchandise of the store and therefore it's aser bahana. Chana shal nachri malai shal nachri polizol nechnasim biyotzin l'sham. The opposite case where all the merchandise is owned by non-Jews and a Jew comes in. Chametz nimsa shamachar pesach mutar ba'achila veizorach lomar ba'ana. Because then you could assume that it belonged to the owner of the stores and there was no iser to partake of it after Pesach. Okay. Masis. Chomich, not all of my polis, Harry, who can move or. So again, we're talking, relates, the Mishnah also relates to the previous Mishnah. So Perek is all about various cases where chametz is semi not with you. It's by the guy, it's by somewhere else, and do you violate by Rabbi Masi? So chametz, not a lot of my polis, chametz that a building fell on top of and now it's covered with rubble. How are you going to mavur? That is mavur, as if it's destroyed already. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Kol She'in HaKelev Yochel L'Chavis Acharav. First, I'm saying that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is purely explaining the Tanna Kamma, not arguing. And he says, how deep does it have to be buried? As long as a dog cannot get to it. As long as a dog cannot get to it, so therefore it is buried. Is this a Din D'Oraisa or a Din D'Rabbanan? If you look at the Ran here, the Ran quotes a Mechilta, a Medrash, which has a pasuk to exclude by Rabbi Matzei Velo Nafal of Mapoles. Sounds like a din d'oraisa according to the Ran that nafal of mapoles, if a building falls on it, it's excluded on a d'oraisa level. And this is what Rashi seems to say as we'll see in the Gemara. Right? Special din, nafal of mapoles. The Ramban earlier on Davav, I don't know if Menachem mentioned this when we did it, Ramban earlier on Davav says, no, our Gemara is talking about a case where you have huge rocks that fell on it and it's impossible to get to. But if it would be possible to get to, then nafal of mapoles is not excluded. So it's not a din mafal mapolis. He says the mechilta is about a case where it's impossible. That's all the mechilta is saying. But if you could get to it, then it's then still you would violate. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Chisda b'sorach sheivata b'libo. You still have to do bittel. Still have to do bittel. So Rashi here says, this is how you know Rashi sees things like the Ran. Rashi here says you have to do bittel because maybe it's going to get uncovered and v'nimsa over alav. But if it doesn't get uncovered, what if it doesn't get uncovered? So according to Rashi, it sounds like if it doesn't get a cover, you're still not going to violate, even if you don't do bittel. So the Rashi seems to hold like Iran, that it's excluded on a d'oraisa level. You're just doing bittel to prevent if it gets uncovered. Also, it says here, b'tzorach sheyevatel belibo. Is bittel belave? So if you remember the earlier Gemara on Davav, where bittel came up earlier, what did the Gemara there say? Ha-mevatel, the language of the Gemara, ha-bodei tzorach sheyevatel. There it didn't have this word belave. So Rashi there said, ha-bodei tzorach sheyevatel Belibo, samach lebedika, miad, the omer kol chamir adika bebeisei. So Rashi says, you have to be mevatel belibo for omer. So bittel, you have to say something, Rashi says there. But the Ran here quotes, ikaman to amri, there are those that say bittel belave, right? Our Gemara, mevatel belibo. And this is the Gemara that gives it away. But the Ran says that he thinks that only means that you don't have to be mashmiel oznav, like Shmon Esrei. You don't have to scream it out, belibo. No, it just means you don't have to say it so out loud. And that's what we're machmer lechatchila. We're machmer lechatchila, at least. Or in Shulchan Aruch, Tafla Madalad, Achar Abedika, Yimiyad, Balailo, Yivatzlenu, Viyomar, Kol Chamir Adisa Bebeisei, etc., etc. Viyomar, Bittel Blush, and Shemavin, etc. We're machmer to do Bittel, not believe, right? We do Bittel, Bipet. Tana, Kamacham, he says, Kelav Shlosha Tvachim, how deep does it have to be in order to guard a dog from not getting to it? Three Tvachim deep. Amalei Rav Acha, Breder of Yosef, Rav Ashi, 1 second. Ha, the Amar Shmuel, Ksafim, Elam, Shmir, Elam, Bekarka. There's a statement of Shmuel above Metzia. When Shmuel says, if you're guarding somebody's money, the only proper guarding that we could say you weren't negligent is if you put it into the ground. If you put it into the ground, so that's Shmirah. Ain't Ksafim Shmirah al-Bakarka. So me being a Shlosha Tvachim Ulo, does that need Shlosha Tvachim also? Does that need three Tvachim deep? Amarlei, Hachem Yishem Recha being a Shlosha Tvachim. No, there's a difference. When it's talking about a dog smoking it out, right? So that needs three tvachim. Here he's just talking about having it covered so ganavim don't come. So v'lo b'ayishlosh, you don't need three. Just has to be covered. That's why you don't need three. V'kama amarafim bar papa misichra tefach. Rafram bar papa, one of Rav Papa's sons. We mentioned at the Siyum. Rafram bar papa from Sichra says, tefach is enough as long as the cover. Again, the post-game uses Gemara to discuss how much the mitzvah's kfura of a person. How deep does he have to be in the ground? So we, Baruch Hashem, are able to bury people very deep, you know, plenty of dirt on top. But the poskim discussed in the Achronim earlier, in days when they couldn't get so far down. Let's say, you know, you're in Vilna and they didn't have bulldozers there to get into the. How deep could you go in the frozen, frozen winter weather of Vilna? How deep could you go so you could hit the ground a little bit? Big child, a lot of it has to do with this Gemara. Is Kfura din of Recha? You don't want any animals coming in and uncovering the bodies. But it has to do with this Gemara about how deep to go. I saw in just to end with a Vart, I saw in the, what is it? Birei Chasidus L'Shas. It has a one-liner from one of the Rebbes. He says, Ksafim Elam Shmir Ala Bakarka. He says, Ksafim, Kisufim. Somebody's Nichsof Nichsafti. Literally, somebody has yearnings to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kisufim Elam Shmir Ala Bakarka. Make sure that you know your place. Make sure you know, Elam Shmira. You don't have any Shmira of that feeling, Ala Bakarka. Look towards the ground. Keep your eyes low, as the Gemara says, when you daven, you have to have your eyes, I forgot which one, you have their eyes up and your heart down, your heart down and your eyes, your heart up and your eyes down. I don't remember which one it was. But either way, that's along the lines of here, Ksafim Eshmiel Bakarka, if you have Kisufim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elam Shmir, you know how you guard that El Bakarka. Keep looking down, realize who you are, realize who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow you get into Shruma, Chametz, Kapara, exciting inyanim. Okay, we continue, Be'ez Hashem. Next week. Thank you, Zechanishpas Yusuf in Paris.